It's fun to watch him drink out of his water bowl.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's very cute. And he like, says
repositioning.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And he like does that thing where he cleans it. He kind of wipes it like Mr. Miyagi style. Like, yeah. His hands on both. Oh, man. Or paws, hands.
They're his hands.
They're his hands.
Hi there, and welcome to this, the 14th episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
We're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And today, in this, the 14th episode, we want to talk about diet and MS. What to eat, what not to eat.
That is the question.
Amen. Nod to Shakespeare, really.
Yes.
Speaking of nod to people, Ryan, producer, right there. We're not even socially distant anymore. So that's well, I mean, we are. I mean, yeah. like
5 or 6 feet away.
Oh, at least. I'm thinking.
But we're inside.
We're inside, yeah. And stuff. But no, yes. this is awesome. And
the distance is more for production. Than
exactly. Just
actual,
more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sound maintenance.
That's what we're talking about. But anyway,
Dan's actually producing today.
I'm just
engineering,
pushing,
I guess, technically.
I'm engineering. Yeah. I'm just pushing buttons to figure this out so that we can do this on our own. Taking a big step, Jennifer.
We are taking a big step.
Just in case I get hit by a train or something.
Well, no, that's not it. That's not it. It's just you're moving on. You're doing other things. And that's the beauty of, 2021 is the technology and we can be doing this and sending it to you so you don't have to be here on site every time we record.
But
so,
I want to.
Well, it's great to see you.
Yeah.
I mean, so, but for those moments that it can't happen. But this is a great, ow, I just hit the microphone.
Right, no, 2 minutes and 27 seconds, Dan punches the microphone.
Okay, I remember that.
Oh, I said that out loud.
You did, thank you. But no, we're going to talk about diet and MS. How necessary is it? But yeah. First, let's catch up because we need, because it's been, well, it's only been a week-ish, yeah. But
I think this is our shortest, I mean, besides times we recorded episodes back-to-back, I think this is the quickest we've done, too.
Yeah, but
we usually do every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but a lot has happened. I mean, we've had Bean for a week.
Yeah.
And
I've cried in a parking lot.
And he's really settling in. And I think that's the one thing that we remembered is we always recalled back when we had Cooper.
Mm.
Our cat.
But when we adopted him, brought him in, I mean, yeah, for probably the first week or two, he was non-existent because he just needed to settle in. That Bean has been slowly but surely settling in and making himself well known and present.
And much like Cooper, Bean is the cat who follows his stomach. And Cooper, we could get him involved if we fed him. Bean is the same way, and Bean likes catnip.
Yeah, he does.
So a little catnip goes a long way just to get the cat a little more social and more comfortable with us.
Yeah. I mean, but it's the new environments trip him up. And that's part of why I was kind of wanted to have you guys have him is every time I move, I mean, even though I might be getting a permanent residence here pretty soon, whatever. Every time I plan something, like life just kicks it in a completely different direction.
Yes.
I mean, I know that is life, whatever, but had some specific things I feel like. It's like, is fate like just messing with me? Is that what's going on here? But anyway, like the last apartment, I mean, I won't even get into moving him across the country, but even in between the last two places I lived in Austin, the second place had the bathroom and the closet were one big room. And it sounds so weird, but it's so nice when you can walk out of your shower into your closet. It's like, hey, clothes, they're all right here.
Nice.
It's pretty sweet. But there's the shelving in that had like a weird little nook basically. And for the first week or two that we lived in that apartment, like he'd been with me his whole life. I barely saw him because he was just, I put some boxes up there and he found a way to jump from the dresser to a thing up onto the thing. And he just hung out in the back of a closet.
Well, that's interesting because he's very fond of hanging out behind our blinds in our living room.
Oh, yeah.
And he just You will see the blinds move periodically.
Yeah, he hasn't had like a window view in a while because he's been in a basement for a year.
And then he has the blinds behind him so no one can see him. So he has his own little nook.
Yeah. Smart well, because and we hadn't closed the blinds because we were getting all the work done here. And I mean, this is exciting because this is the first time we're recording in our newly remodeled living room.
Yeah, very snazzy.
I mean, that settled in well.
Yeah, cabinets look nice. I like the bend, like for cat, like in the corner there.
Yes.
Like, oh, it's nice.
And that's, you know, they're touching up paint. Tuesday, I think the painter's coming in, and then it'll almost be done, except like finishing up the trim, and that's still on order. But
yeah,
you know, this we could settle back in. So I mean, it's exciting, you know, exciting times. But you know, when you think about it, it's been since about March that we started this whole process. So this is exciting.
Yeah,
Jennifer.
It's exciting, and I just look at the counter that's more accessible for me because it's my height and I can roll under it in my wheelchair. So that's really important. Just if you're going to make any modifications in your home, as we've noticed in the last few weeks, the kitchen is the heart of our house. And to have something accessible that I can roll under, that's something I'm really looking forward to.
It's been very good. And speaking of kitchen, food, eating, diet with
nice
MS. You like
segue,
that? Who's the one
Dan
in the segue
Dickman
today,
nice
Jenny D?
Segue.
Yeah, so we will talk about that. I think this is just something that has come up. Well, it's always there. I mean, just in terms of things with discussions of gut bacteria, different types of diets, the Swank diet, the Walls protocol and everything. And we'll dig into that and just kind of have conversation on what are we looking for and whether or not we diet and why we should or shouldn't. So with that, we'll be right back. So here we are. In the new living room, just adjacent to the kitchen, talking about food, MS, and diet. And this is something that...
I'm really hungry.
Tell me about it. But it is. It's just talking about diet and MS. And I mean, there's tons of things. And we will have notes on this in the liner notes for this, as well as a follow-up blog post on our blog. Just links to different things about stuff like the Walls protocol and Swank diet and other types of just things with gut bacteria and inflammation and everything. And it's just, it overwhelms me.
It overwhelms me too. And that's why I'm quiet. I mean, I just feel like, I mean, as if life isn't overwhelming enough to begin with right now, but then you throw in diet and multiple sclerosis and it almost gives you a sense that you can control your disease by monitoring your diet. But you know what I'm talking about, where you almost feel like not responsible for your disease course, but you just wonder, I think that's probably true for any person with a chronic illness. What choices did I make to
cause this calamity in my life?
Anybody that has anything chronic, like I've had those feel. I was self-reflecting the other day and was thinking about, I was like, man, I've always felt so bad about being the way I am sometimes. And it occurred to me, I was like, a meme just popped into my head. I was like, I'm faulty, but it's not my fault. And I was just like,
ooh, that's very
good. Right? That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
I'm faulty, but it's not my fault.
Well, I think there are things, obviously, there's some lifestyle choices, things that you do that directly cause something bad. I mean, obviously, you know that smoking is going to potentially cause bad things. And so thereby then you don't smoke. Or try not to. Am I getting on a soapbox? I'm just saying, things that things that you know cause it. And that's where you're dealing with multiple sclerosis. And it's just like people say, we don't know the cause of the disease. So then why do I feel bad if then you're talking, oh, well, you know, the adjusting with the food, and that way you'll do better.
Yeah. There was, I think there was a recent thing about dementia and your gut health were semi-related, or, and like that, to be honest, that's part of why I've sort of tapped out drinking quite a bit, because I'm seeing like a mental future where I could possibly be going in my relatives. And I was like, oh man, I don't want to go there. I want to be with it as long as possible.
Yeah.
And it is talking about smoking and diet. And I look at myself at 23 and I'm reflecting back, boy, I was the perfect storm. And that can be difficult, because then you feel responsible for your disease, and then that's a slippery slope and you just start to.
Yeah. It's bad when you feel bad about yourself.
Yes. Ugh. And that's no way to overcome or to deal with your chronic illness. So that's why I was a little, this is a very important topic, but a little hesitant, because again, I don't want to feel like, I look at you, Dan Dickman, and you're a skinny man, and I think, well, he's skinny and he has MS, or I see other people that struggle with their weight and they don't have multiple sclerosis. So what key did I unlock to bring this disease about? And I don't think, I mean, I can look at Christina Applegate, who was recently diagnosed, and say, I'm sure she didn't do anything to cause that disease. So that's the conflict.
But it's like, that's where you have that. But I mean, in fairness to everything, I was chubby. I mean, it wasn't until after you and I met, or just before you and I met, that I started to lose weight and stuff. So I was overweight, but that's all relative now too, because I feel, you know, we looked, because I weighed this morning and I'm down, you know, to like one, I'll call it what it is. I'm down to 151, which that's,
dang.
And you're thinking, what am I doing? Because I'm losing weight and I'm not trying. And so what's going on? And is it the root of something more? But then when you look at the guidelines or something, and it's just like, for somebody who's 5'7", like a max amount is up to like 159, and anything over that is overweight. And I'm just like, you know, but that's where it's all so silly and so relative and stuff. And it's just like, So that's a whole thing too. It's just like, see, now we're getting into soapbox, and this was my fear of it, but it's like, thin does not equate healthy. You know, it's like we put this in there, say, I'm my ideal weight.
Yeah, anorexia is not healthy. Like if you're that skinny and all, it's bad for you.
Yeah. And so why do we put so much on that, the number, the weight and stuff? And we're talking diet, but it's just like, I don't think, is that where it's a bad thing when we talk diet versus just being healthy, doing things to be healthy?
Well, if you look at the diets that you referenced, the Swank diet.
I don't know what that one is. What is that?
That's a diet that came about in the 90s by Roy Swank, and it really reduces saturated fat, I believe.
Okay.
And it's more healthy eating, and it's a more MS-centered diet. And I know when I joined my first support group, my first in-person support group, the leader of the group, she was a big proponent of the Swank diet, almost to the point where she lost so much weight that members of the group started to worry about her. So that's where the pendulum swings. Like if you're too heavy, people are uncomfortable to say, oh geez, Jen, you're a little chubby, lose some weight. But if you're too skinny, people feel more comfortable to say you're too thin. But now I think weight is such a subject that everyone's hands off. They don't really want to discuss. So the diet in multiple sclerosis, we're not necessarily talking about weight. We're just talking about feeding your body food, you know, to lower inflammation and to give it what it needs.
And that's, I'm just following up on that. This is from an article in Healthline or on Healthline that we will have links to on our website. But rules of the Swank diet focuses mainly on fat with these restrictions. No more than 3 teaspoons or 15 grams of saturated fat per day. Minimum of 4 teaspoons of unsaturated fat, oil, and maximum of 10 teaspoons or 50 grams. So, I mean, it's really focused on fat intake, but then it's, I don't know. It's just like, you know, at the same time, I have no problem going to the bar, getting a burger and fried food. And it's just like,
yeah, same thing. I mean, I look at that sort of stuff as the same thing as drinking. It's like in moderation, man. Like you can't eat like a rabbit all year long. Like you occasionally got to splurge. And like the kind of the fittest I've been, I don't remember, like weight, like you're saying, weight's such a weird thing where we're like, I guess because you can just assign a number to it and be like, I'm here and blah. But in Austin, I got not jacked, but I got down pretty thin because trying to courting a lady, and it worked and it was nice. But I was doing I think it was Tim Ferriss, like the 4-hour body or whatever he called it. And it was just heavy on protein and cutting carbs and all that stuff. But there was one day of the week, he was like, eat whatever the hell you want. It's like, and he built the whole thing around, you can also have 2 glasses of wine with your food. And that's why I kind of liked it. It's like, oh, he's like making it semi-realistic or whatever. And just that and exercise. And I was just like, oh man, I feel great. But then, you know, I got into a relationship and got nice and comfortable and got pudgy again.
And Dan and I, it's interesting that you would say that. Dan and I talked about, if you want to watch your diet and be really stringent, and hopefully it'll make you feel better, but you have to wonder, are you letting multiple sclerosis control you because you're not living the way you normally want to? You're not eating the cheeseburger and having the beer. You're having to be really strict. And yes, that's good for you, but is that another way that the disease is controlling you?
If it's a way you're fighting it or making your life more manageable, then it's for you.
That's now what would you say to that? Because that's a good point, Dan. You're fighting it and you're managing your disease. So you're in control, but
we had this discussion, and this is where we probably shouldn't have these discussions before recording the podcast, because I think then you forget everything you said or where you're at that emotional state. But I'm like, if I don't think I would feel in control, and I would feel, yes, I'm making this change to make myself feel better, but at the core, it's MS driving that change. And I always, I'm a big proponent of saying I don't want to give MS more credit than it deserves. And so if I'm going to lose weight, and this is, I mean, these are all nuances in everything about it, you know. But it's like, if I'm going to do a better job, it's because of me. I think the big thing, too, is age. And if I make the change, it's because I'm getting older and I need to focus on more things, but not necessarily because of the disease. I don't want to give it that satisfaction. But again, think of it as I will, tomato, tomato, whatever it is. And I think that's the big thing, is what are we all doing just to make ourselves healthier for our own sakes?
Yeah. And it is semantics. And if you feel better saying I'm losing weight because of my age, I'm not losing weight because multiple sclerosis is making that happen, then that's what's important and that's what motivates you. For me, I will say I want to lose weight because I want to help my caregiver, i.e. you, Dan, when you're transferring me, I want to weigh less. Or Dan, if you can't transfer me, for another caregiver like Jen, if I weigh less, that would be helpful for her. So, and I don't necessarily think about it. Certainly, I want to lose weight so I look good in clothes or, you know, I'll feel better about myself, but I'm thinking about it in respect of my caregivers. So you find the reason, you find out your own why. But I think I'm with you. I don't want to give multiple sclerosis any more power in my life. Say, oh, I'm losing weight because of the disease. Heck no, I'm losing the weight for my husband. I'm losing weight for cute clothes.
The appearance side of it is something that never, well, it mattered. I guess it was important to me, but I couldn't. I've always had body image issues. Like, I feel gross all the time. Like, it's just the way I grew up. And like more recently, for whatever reason, that stuff doesn't matter as much. And so I'm starting to trim down and stuff. And I bought a pack of t-shirts to wear while I was running that were tighter than I meant to get. But I'm like, it still fits and I'm going to get sweaty. I don't care anyway. And like, I was getting like head turns and looks and stuff. I'm like, people are paying attention to me. This is weird.
This is weird.
Yeah.
And that kind of ties in because Dan and I were wondering what was the impetus? What was the reason that?
It's just kind of happening. I guess maybe it's sort of like, well, I was hiking every day to prep for my cross-country adventure thing that hasn't happened. But it's also just, you know, I was just feeling in a funk. And like COVID does literally scare the hell out of me still. Like, I am so nervous about that stuff. And being outside away from people's seems like the best place to be, so walking out in the woods was, and so that's just what I've been doing. And sometimes I run, sometimes I bike, but it's just, I don't know, I feel good out there, and I write while I walk, so it's just kind of,
so it's kind of self-care.
Yeah.
And then, not to complicate the issue, but we do live in Michigan. Mm. So that darn winter is going to affect us.
Yeah.
Have you given any thought to what you will do for that self-care when and if Michigan makes it not so fun to walk outside?
Well, I walked in that forest when there was snow on the ground already. Like, I think I was doing that in February or whatever last year. And I still was out there, not every day, but I wasn't walking as much as I am now. And I'm sure by that time, hopefully, maybe I'll just have a treadmill or something. But I like being outside.
Buy a new cute coat.
There you go.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. But, I mean, I guess continuing asking more questions. I mean, because there wasn't you had your reasons for doing it. I mean, when all is said and done.
I mean, I guess it started with the, you know, kind of the blood clot thing and sort of heart scare stuff. I'm just like, oh, crap. Like, cause I've never been in terrible shape. Like, yeah. I don't know. In high school, I weighed around 190 to 200 or whatever. I've always been in that sort of range. So right now I weigh less than I weighed in high school, which is weird, but I don't know. But I'm always like, I feel like I'm losing bone density. I think that's maybe what's happening, like, to be honest, because my body still feels mostly the same. But I mean, it's a little tighter in some spots, but for the most part, I still feel roughly the same. But I've always just been like a dense human. Like, my dad and I are both like, we're not that big, but we weigh more than you think we would.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. And neither of us, like, I don't think my dad's ever broken a bone in his whole life. And he got into some pretty bad car accidents and still didn't even really break anything. It was all muscle damage.
Wow.
And I only broke my first bone a year ago. So, or 2 years ago, I guess. And that was cast iron, so that was my fault.
But and since you've been walking in the woods doing your thing, you feel better?
Oh, yeah. And possibly, you know, dropping alcohol as much as I wasn't going overboard, but I was just like, eh. And I'd take breaks every so often. Like, I have a friend in Austin who did, she'd take one night a week she couldn't drink, 1 week a month she couldn't drink, 1 month a year she couldn't drink. Like, she just did that to, like, keep herself in check. And because she had a lifestyle that, like, she was out partying all the time and doing stuff. And she was just like, okay, I want to make sure I have a handle on this and it's not driving me where I don't want to go. Because especially, you know, with a girl in a big city in a bar, you have to, you know, she was aware, be aware at all times. And so she used that as sort of like a metric to, like, see if, like, okay, can I not, like, make it through that? Like, is it too much for me when I... And so she was like, if I ever get to the week and I'm like, oh, by the end of the week, I really need a drink. She was like, okay, then the next month is the month that you can't drink. I'm like, oh, that's pretty clever.
Yeah.
Wow, that's discipline.
Yeah. That is. And I look back myself when I was at my thinnest, I mean, besides childhood, but, you know, my lowest weight when you and I got married about 3 years after we got married, I got to a really happy weight where I looked really good. And dang it, that McDonald's Frappuccino just slippery slope all the way. And I'm thinking, why don't I get back there? And that's a mental thing. I know that I could do better, and I but in that moment when you're stressed and you need that, like, your addiction to food or you need that chocolate, you're like, that is going to help so much more than just denying myself. So,
yeah. To sort of shift a little, I mean, I'm still on the food thing, but, and I guess it's gut health related. So I'm not shifting anything. I'm just driving down the road.
Yes.
It's like probiotic food stuff, like yogurts and that sort of, have you guys played around with those at all? Or do you have any idea if that will help your diet?
I think that it will. Honestly, Dan and I, we've been married for 16 years and we've been living with the disease for over 20. And I don't really think we've made a very conscious effort to watch our diet other than that period of time when I was on Weight Watchers and you were running and we were at our peak. But now I think because of our age and just the pandemic, maybe we will investigate probiotics and different diets like the ones that we're referencing today, Dr. Walls or Dr. Swank.
Yeah, it's too easy. So just real quick, like, because the reason I brought it up, two easy things I've been doing is it's like kombucha is the big thing. Like, I drink that every day. Like, I love it. It's great. It's one, because it's like, it has like 0.001% alcohol or something like that. So like when you drink it, it's got a little bite to it. So it's like, if you're at night, you're like, oh man, I could go for a beer or something, or have like a, you know, just that nice kind of, not like, it gives you that sort of burning sensation in your mouth. So your brain's like, oh, booze is on the way, but it's not. And it's usually like, it is good for gut health. Like, it has probiotics and all that other stuff. I think there's like 2 billion bacteria in the bottle or whatever.
Wow.
It's fermented black tea is what it is. And like the village, like their GT's kombucha is the one I drink, and it's there. They have it at Meijer and it's really good. And the story on the back of the bottle there is that whatever, I can't remember where it was, but wherever they were making the stuff, they found it, like the village that figured it out, like the people who were living there have to be like 100 years old back in the forevers ago. And this stuff is just like, it's really low cal too. Like, I think 20 or so ounces is like 60 calories or something.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, it tastes good. And there's the one, like, GT's has lemon berry or berry lemon. I can't remember which one it is, but it tastes like some candy I had in my childhood that I don't quite remember, but the flavor's just pleasant enough. It's like raspberry juice and blueberry juice and lemon and some other stuff. And it's just like, oh, it's just like a fruit punch that,
yum.
Yeah.
Something to look into.
Yeah. It's a little pricey, like the big bottles are, like, there's, I don't know, however much this is, they're like $8 or $9 for the big old thing, which isn't that bad, but I'll go through one of those in a day. So,
wow.
Yeah. But then there's also this stuff called kefir, which they have at Kroger, and I know they have at Meijer too. That's sort of like liquid yogurt, like little Danimals. And that's like, if my stomach ever feels a little gross, I drink some of that and it's just like, wow, it's like kind of natural Pepto-Bismol or whatever is sort of what it feels like. But that's a thing that I think might be helping me too, is like, I've always had like an upset stomach and weird, like I used to have to carry Ritz crackers in my backpack in high school because my stomach would be upset all the time. And part of that was just anxiety and nerves because I didn't like being around hundreds of people.
Right.
But I didn't know what that meant at the time. So, but looking back on it now, it's like, yeah, it was just, you know, anxiety mostly.
Wow.
But also, like, I never eat the best, but the, whatever's going on lately, like, I feel like I'm clearing food out of my system faster is maybe the nicest way to say it.
Wow.
Where I have friends that are like, oh, I just ate and I gotta go. And I'm like, my system doesn't work like that. And so I was like, oh man, that was fast. Like, how'd you do that?
And that's interesting for me in a wheelchair and those of us living with multiple sclerosis. You know, sometimes we can have slower bodily functions or, you know, any help naturally that we can get. So that's good advice. Yeah. Something to think about and to look into.
And they both taste good. That's the best thing. Like, they're both sweet. And so it's like, oh, this isn't a hassle drinking this. This is great.
Yeah.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
But it's just looking at those things just to improve your health. And I guess that's the thing is I'm not about going on a diet. I don't feel like diet necessarily is sustainable. Yeah. It's like once you hit a certain amount or a certain weight, whatever, are you able to keep that going forever? But if you're just making, you know, smart choices like
I think the diet's like any of this, like exercise, it's a discipline. Yep. So where you do the diet while you need it to get where you need to be. And then hopefully when you get there, you can sustain. Otherwise you're just kind of yo-yo back and forth.
And that was the problem with me when I was running. I had to eat. I ate like crap when I ran.
Oh.
Well, I think just because, you eat the good food, but it's like, then I'm not eating enough to have that. And, you know, I'm not a dietitian, but I'm just like, I ate what I wanted because I was burning all the calories. And so, but anyway, we're just kind of talking,
you know, we had talked about Weight Watchers and that program is very sustainable. And now Weight Watchers goes by WW, but that program is very sustainable. And that is kind of something we need to keep us going. And so I think having the hope and the intent and the ambition, and, you know, we recently interviewed Chris Holland. He was a Chopped contestant.
Three-time Chopped champion.
Three-time Chopped champion. And he is living with multiple sclerosis. And he talked about the importance of diet. And so I think that is what planted this seed in our head that we really wanted to talk about how important diet, nutrition, these lifestyle choices are.
And I think that's what really drove me in terms, because we had asked him, and it was for the recent issue or recent article, 7 questions with a couple on our website, just asking, I mean, here he is, Chopped champion chef. You know, how did, just the question of how has his MS changed his diet? And he said that he never used to think of it. And I mean, and he, like us, I mean, won me over. He says, I love tacos. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that is the best thing. But he just said how now he's been really focusing more on that specifically because of, you know, things with gut bacteria and just the getting older. And so it's like, maybe we need to take a closer look into these things. And so, but this is on our dime, our choice, not MS telling me I need to do it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I saw a thing in college where I wanted to do that too. They could do like a gut study on you and tell you, okay, you shouldn't eat red meat. You shouldn't eat this or whatever. And I always kind of wanted to do it because, like I said, my stomach's been messed up forever. And I didn't because I was kind of scared to find out. It's like, don't, you know, do the thing you love. But I basically stopped eating everything I liked anyway. I'm like, yeah.
This is making good choices, being smarter. And so
yeah.
We will have more information about this on the Swank Diet, the Wallace Protocol, and gut bacteria with articles, as well as the link to the Chris Holland interview on our website, acoupletakesonms.com. We will come back for this episode's Moments of Joy.
Okay, so now we're back with Moments of Joy. And because you all told me to do it, I'm going to go first. because my moment of joy involves our new house member, Bean. Mm-hmm. Cooper, our previous cat, he was not a catnip kind of cat. And Bean, we gave him catnip, and I think I have not smiled as big as I did when I watched him just roll around.
Oh, man.
And his eyes got wild, and he was jumping. And it was just the happiest, purest thing, because it was just catnip. And
if you give him enough, he'll chase his own tail.
He did that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he did that in the kitchen. And he was so today. He was so annoyed just because that darn tail, just he couldn't catch it.
Yeah.
And so, man, I think that was the most genuine moment of joy, and I look forward to many more. So, Ryan, what's your moment of joy?
I've been doing, well, I don't know if you guys know about this, actually. We should just, because it's a weird thing. So there's the unclaimed property you can look for any state you've lived in, like the government. Like if you have a bank account or an insurance company or Comcast or whatever, if it works out, they owe you money, but you've moved or changed your phone number or whatever, and they can't find you, they just send that money to the state. And then the state just holds on to it for you until you say, I wonder if I have any money from the state. It turns out I have like $360 waiting for me in Texas that was just like from an insurance thing.
Oh, what? Very fun.
Yeah. I have $66 in Michigan too. It's up near Traverse City. I didn't file the paperwork for that one because it's not a huge thing, but I had to do it for my grandma. So I was like doing stuff with that. And so I was like, oh, look me up. And then I looked up I found a couple things and I'm like, oh, cool, I'll do this. And so the ones in Texas were, I don't even know what they were from really, but it took, I think I filed the thing like months ago, and it came back pretty fast. You know, you have to prove who you are initially, and then they tell you what the stuff is and how much it's worth or whatever, like the exact numbers. And because if it's over a certain amount, I think if it's over $250, it just says over $250. And like my grandma had a thing that was like $5,000. Just like, nice. Well, let's get that back. That'd be good. It's so weird. But like the Texas one, because I've been bouncing around, their mailing system is more intense than the voter ID one. And like voting through the mail, you have to prove the addresses you've lived at, like give all this crap.
Oh, wow.
And they can't send the money anywhere that you're not affiliated with. I'm like, well, I have my dad's house. And then I was going to have it sent there. And now I have a P.O. box and the mail wouldn't forward. So they kept sending it to my dad's house. He wouldn't get it. It would just bounce back to Texas for a month.
Oh.
I finally like, why didn't I get that check? And so I called and talked to him and we had to do this whole thing. And I just got the check today and deposited it. So I was just like,
nice.
Yes,
congrats.
$360. Like, it's especially if you have older relatives that might have had a bank account they forgot about, I would really suggest checking that out.
That's a good tip.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Life hack sort of thing.
Yes, yeah. Nice. And Dan Digman, what's your moment of joy?
My moment of joy is our new clock.
Wow. I just now noticed that.
Isn't that fun?
That is an awesome clock.
I just, and this is not a paid advertisement, but I'm just saying Wayfair. Because you're looking at, I think you start getting emails and then you get like the retargeting of ads and things. And I was just like, I wanted a big clock in here.
Yeah.
Just a clock. And I started looking at that one, just, I'm thinking, that is so cool. And we got it probably a month, 2 months ago, but we just didn't want to, you're afraid to hang up new things because you're just saying, well, I don't want to bang holes into the wall and have this be wrong. And
that's what your walls are for.
I know, but they just, you know, the painter like patched everything. And so these are pristine walls and you're thinking, I don't want to like have this be the wrong place. Cause what if we get another piece of art and this isn't the right place and we're going to have new holes and blah, blah, blah. But it was just yesterday because they finally got everything done. We can like settle in here.
Mm-hmm.
And then bless Jennifer's caregiver, Jen.
Yeah.
She helped, I mean, just to hang stuff. So hung up.
Yeah, you should put a picture on that on the blog if you haven't, or with the podcast, because that is a really cool
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that
Especially since it's your moment of joy, yeah, it should probably be in the box.
Yes, yes. So that is our, and just that we got that up. Well, because then when we're watching TV, the clock on the cable box is the channel. So you have no concept of what time it is. And now we just have to look up there and say, it's time for bed.
It's like an M.C. Escher clock is what it makes me feel like.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. And
yeah, that's cool.
So that's my moment of joy.
I guess for visual description, just so people don't go insane right now, if they are listening, it's a clock in a spiral where like all the numbers are laid out and then they just repeat back into the spiral over and over again.
Smaller and smaller and smaller.
But all the 12s are in the same spot. It's just every level down. Looks like you're looking down a spiral staircase that goes down forever.
How many layers is that? So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
So yeah.
And you were afraid because when you see all the reviews on it, some people are saying, oh, it doesn't keep time. It loses time. This is horrible. Not worth it. And thinking,
well, that's just the mechanics in the back. You can buy those and replace them. The face is the deal.
Yeah. It's really nice. So that's it. My moment of joy.
Dude, yeah.
That's doesn't matter the time of day. It's a moment of joy.
Well, that's nice.
Yes. So that's it for this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and please tell others about it.
Be sure to subscribe today and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about on future episodes.
And if you have something to contribute to the episode, questions, comments, concerns, you can email me, Ryan. The producer is actomspodcast@gmail.com.
And you can follow us on our blog, acoupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter @coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward. Until next time.
You're Dan Dickman.
I know. Well, I'm just
Jennifer
like, are we like, well, until next time, this is A Couple Takes on it. Until next time, we've been A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Dickman, and I'm, all right.